Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. In many ways, this is a very unusual thing for us to think and hear about Jesus. First of all, did he really need to learn anything? Isn't Jesus one with the Father and the Spirit, divine in nature, the second person of the Trinity? How can he need to learn anything? That's a very important question. And the reality is, we acknowledge Jesus as divine, but we also acknowledge that while he is one divine person of the three persons of the Trinity, he also took on our human nature. And while God, who is divine, is incapable of learning, God is not capable of learning because God already knows. Because Jesus is one like one with us in all things except sin, he can learn. Now, this particular thing Jesus needs to learn would make what we have to consider this evening even stranger. Anyone who was a parent would understand what this means, and anyone who has been a child also understands, or been a student or a teacher. Any place where obedience is necessary, whether it's in a family or school or any other institution, the one thing Jesus needed to learn was how to be obedient. Yes, that's what we just heard from God's word, the letter to the Hebrews. Jesus needed to learn how to be obedient. I believe that when we consider Jesus divine in nature by who he is, and also with the human nature that he's taken on, we are getting to the very heart of our faith, one of the greatest possible mysteries we could possibly consider and contemplate and, by God's grace, enter into. Jesus needed to learn how to be obedient. One last thing that Jesus needed to learn how to be obedient. Through what? Through what he suffered. Only by suffering could Jesus learn to be obedient. And why is this so important? We could say that what the letter to the Hebrews tells us is the fulfillment of what we heard from Jeremiah in today's first reading. And what we heard from Jeremiah in today's first reading is God says through the prophet Jeremiah that he will make a new covenant with his people. And in making this covenant, he says, I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. You know when God gave his people the law, I'm sure you do. When Moses went up Mount Sinai, centuries before Jeremiah, and God gave his people the Ten Commandments through Moses. And this created the covenant with God and his people. And the Ten Commandments were the shape or the form or the description of how they were to live as God's covenant people. They already had the law. They were given it centuries before at Mount Sinai. But as Jeremiah writes, and you could say this describes what Jeremiah's whole ministry was about, he says, this was a covenant they broke. Though God had given them his law, they broke his covenant. They did not obey his law. And that's why in Jeremiah's time, everything they had in treasure that God had given them was being taken away from them. Even the temple itself was to be destroyed in Jeremiah's time. And God had an answer for that situation, which was to write his law within their hearts. When and how would God do this? How would this be possibly fulfilled? What does it even mean to say that God's law would be written in our hearts? Yes, I said our hearts, all of our hearts. Well, let's go back to what we read in Hebrews. It is in the heart of Jesus that God's law is being written, even as we hear the words of today's gospel. Because Jesus is entering into the hour that he came to earth to enter into and to fulfill. He says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. We might say that this is the hour during which God writes his law in one person's heart, the heart of Jesus, his Son. To write the law in his heart means that he enters into what it means to be an obedient son, something he did not know before, because he did not yet know the suffering of this hour. And Jesus speaks prophetically of what is going to happen to him when he says that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Something is going to happen to Jesus' will that had not happened yet in his human nature with his human will. Jesus has two wills because he has two natures, divine and human. And through entering into the suffering of his hour, his will, his human will, is transformed. Why? What's the point? Now, Jesus puts it this way. He has to make a choice. He says, my soul is troubled. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. In his human nature, like us, he wants to be spared the hour of his suffering, his death on the cross and his descent into hell. And he answers his own question when he says, no, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. That's the choice that Jesus is entering into between being saved from the suffering and entering into it willingly, an obedient son, so that his Father's name would be glorified. Now, if Jesus needed to learn obedience, he who is without sin, even in his human nature, without sin, then we are surely on this Lenten journey, as we are every year in Lent, and we could say, of course, every day of our lives, but especially in this Lenten journey, because we also need to learn obedience. Though God's law has been written in our heart because we have been baptized into Christ, and we are made his body by sharing in his Eucharistic sacrifice here and at every Mass, though that is all true, we still surely need to learn obedience. Now, one of the easiest things that you and I can possibly say, at least for me, I don't know about you, is that, oh, of course we want to obey God. It's good that we should say that, by the way, but it's, of course, very easy to say we want to obey God. But what does that look like? Well, surely you know it means to avoid sin. But of course, Jesus did not have a problem with avoiding sin. He avoided sin. Obeying God is more than avoiding sin. Sin is a block between us and God. But once that block is cleared through sacramental absolution in particular, which we receive in the sacrament of reconciliation, what does it mean to obey God? What are you and I being called to enter into? How do we give glory to the Father's name, which is what he wants of us, just as he wants that of Jesus? And I think the answer comes with the very simple opening of the gospel. There are these people in Jerusalem for the festival who are Greeks. They're foreigners. And they come up to Philip, one of the apostles, and say to him, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Isn't that a simple question? We wish to see Jesus. I would say to you that that simple request defines for Jesus and for us and for all of his followers what it means to give glory to the Father. Because, of course, in our day and age, in our time, in our lives, all around us, whether they say it out loud or not, everyone around you and me is really asking the same thing in different ways. They're saying to us, we wish to see Jesus. People really want to see Jesus, even if they've never heard of him, because he is the fulfillment of everything they could ever possibly hope for. The deepest desires of the heart are to see Jesus. In order to give glory to the Father, just as Jesus did, in other words, in order to be the obedient sons and daughters of our Father in heaven, whom we are called to be, Our lives need to be such that when people look at us, when people look at you, they need to see, if not Jesus himself, then a pointer to Jesus. Someone whose whole life directs them to the source of all life, to Jesus himself. The one they really need, more than anything or anyone, Jesus. This simple request, we wish to see Jesus, is going to be fulfilled by Jesus. We know it is. As he said at the end of the gospel, he was going to give glory because he says, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Lifted up to the earth, meaning crucified. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. He fulfills the Father's will by entering into his hour of suffering, his death on the cross, and in doing so draws all people to himself. In other words, I think that it's only really with God's help that we can possibly hope to accomplish what God wishes to accomplish in us and through us. He has written his law in our hearts. And in this season of Lent, we are really invited to be obedient, to allow his will to become our will. And what does our will look like? What do we need to give up? Well, there is no easy answer to that question. The answer is everything. Absolutely everything we need to lay at the feet of God, our Heavenly Father, just as Jesus laid down his life at his Father's feet. Everything you think and believe and even know humanly to be important in your life, and of course the same, it certainly applies to me, we need to be willing and ready to lay down at God's feet, to offer it up to him, even at Mass this evening, which is why we have the Mass. It's not Jesus himself alone who is offered up, Jesus as an individual, because Jesus has a body, and we're members of that body. And when the bread and wine are consecrated and lifted up as the ultimate sacrifice to God, our Heavenly Father, we are lifted up too, if we enter into this moment, our hour, the hour in which our souls should be troubled. It should be difficult in some mysterious way to be a Christian because we are continually being asked, I know I am, and I believe we all are, to give up our will, what we believe we want, need, what we strive for in life. Because God has something greater in mind for all of us. And it's as simple as that request. How can we live lives so that those around us who wish to see Jesus can start to see him, that our lives can be pointed towards him? And so we need this prayer, the supreme prayer of the church, the Mass. And we're reminded of how Jesus became an obedient son in the words of the letter to the Hebrews, the same letter that says he learned obedience through what he suffered. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him.